All right, shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to listen to you, to hear your word, and to be instructed. We ask that you will take these words and transform our inside, that we may do your will on the earth, in the name of Jesus. We bind every external force. We come against the devil. Let your word have a free course this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this morning, we're going to be talking about the need for us to go out and talk to people about Jesus Christ. That in itself is the cardinal reason why Jesus came, and for him to have reached out to us in our lost state, he had to leave everything. He left the exclusive palace he was in, the gold and everything and all the nice things, and he came to a dusty place and was born among sheep. If you've been to where they raise sheep, it's not funny. If you come too close, the smell alone is something else. You know those creatures, they don't have their bath. They live in death day in, day out until the day they are slaughtered. He was born in that sort of place where there were hay for horses and all kinds of things. You know, that's the sort of place where he was born. He left everything. And having done that, he wants us to do likewise. To leave the comfort of where we are and take the good news to everyone in our community and everyone around us. Unless we do that, there are certain things we will not experience. If every one of us seated here bring in one person from darkness to light, you can deliver a whole family from crisis. You can deliver a whole family from sickness and disease. You can deliver a whole family from bondage. You can deliver a lost child. You can deliver someone who has been on drugs that ended up in prison. Jesus died between two thieves. He didn't die in some nice place. He died among some unscrupulous people. And he left the earth. But he sent the Holy Spirit and said, well, the church is going to take over from this point. And who is the church? It's you and I. On the last day when God is going to judge, it's about the people. It's not about us as one group. As what did the group do? What did the group do? What did the pastor say? What did they say? It's a question of what did you do? Who did you tell about the gospel? In all honesty, all of us seated here, when was the last time you went and knocked on someone's door? Say, hello, good morning to you. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then said, go away. Or someone says, please, come in. When last did you do that? When last did you have a burden for somebody who was on a slippery slope? When last were you concerned about somebody's life? We have become a group of people that enjoy so much of what God is doing. And it's just to our benefit. Our prayers are all around us. Me, my wife, my children, us four and no more. That has been the style for a good while. And that's why evil is multiplying on the earth. It will multiply, there's no doubt. But Jesus has given us a responsibility to take the gospel to everyone. I've said to myself, from this point going forward, I will personally go out, knock on somebody's door, and say, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Pastor, I think we need to design and create some tracts that will be available. You have them in your bags wherever you go. You're in the bus station, in the train station, just waiting. Bring out some of them, hand them out. You see, let me tell you what will happen. For some of those people, you know, words that are written, you can't change the voice of those words. So when someone is reading it, especially you've prayed and all that on it, what will happen is, somebody is reading it one day the Holy Ghost will just take that thing, turn it inside out, and the person is delivered from darkness to life. So here we are. We have a huge responsibility, and we can't run away from it. In your place of work, your colleagues, your friends, indeed, When last have you had the burden in your heart to pray? That was what drove Jesus. Kenneth Copeland, years ago, 1998 thereabout, the Holy Ghost said to him, bring the ministry to full combat. He said, what does that mean? Please explain to me. He said, in the time of war, you hold no resources back to save the lives of men. It is in time of peace, people consider being selfish, how to save money, to keep away and do all kinds of things. They don't consider people. But in time of war, you deploy resources, holding nothing back. He said, when you do that, then at some point, you get to a level where Satan can't do anything again. And that was what happened. He said, at that point, they deployed all of the resources they had to the point where they were now following it step by step because they opened the entire treasury, went to TV ministry, they deployed computer resources, upgraded everything, online facilities and all that. He said, do you know in 2 years, more people were added to the church than since when the ministry started? And when you become such a person who is enlisted to serve God in this capacity, then your life and everything that concerns you becomes his top priority. And there is a reward for it. Let's look at Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19, we'll start from there. Now this thing is serious, so it's a very serious matter. This is the most important thing to Christ, to be honest. This is the most important thing to him. And if we're not engaged in it, it's something fundamental we're all living out. And it really doesn't matter who you are. Whether you're a bishop, you're a pope, you're the CEO of your organization, whatever, it doesn't matter. Matthew 28:19. Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Unless you go, there are certain things you cannot experience. It is when you preach the gospel, the word that you have put forward, not your word, but his word, he will confirm those words with signs following. That is when you will see a child in the house, they spent a lot of medicine over the years, who has maybe hearing problem, just in the simplicity of the power of the gospel, you say, there is a sick person here, bring the person on, because you're putting Jesus forward, the ear gets open. What do you think will happen to those people? They know that you haven't come to tell tales. Or maybe someone in the house has been on certain kind of medication forever. The thing is not going away. They're spending money. By your coming to preach Jesus, what will happen? Supernatural healing can take place. And deliverance will happen. But if you don't go, it will not happen. You see, Jesus has left the earth. We are now the body on the earth. We are the ones who will not go and tell people about Jesus. Angels won't do it. God won't do it. You and I will have to. Because the Bible says we are the ones that are the temple of the Spirit of God, isn't it? God dwells on the inside of us, so we are the ones who are carrying the power and the glory. The problem is, we sit here, we all listen to the word of God, jump and got all excited, and it ends there. But really, where the place where the power is, after Jesus fasted and prayed, he went out. So we all have to do it. And I have some interesting scriptures and conversation we'll have this morning. And let's look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Yes. Mark chapter 6 and from verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Can you see that? The only time you can see power demonstrated, some of the things they call mental health, in some cases is demonic spirits. He said, I have given you power over what? Unclean spirits. You remember the other day on TV, there was this woman who, she went to Canada with a son that is epileptic, and she came back with some Indian hemp medicine that is prepared for Indian hemp oil, and the UK government says, no, that's not one of the approved drugs in this country. They seized it at the airport. The boy's case became very bad. It became a political thing. The Home Secretary at some point had to give a special approval for them to release it, and all that and all that. They went to the hospital. At some point, the boy was giving some. They didn't release enough. The boy was giving some, and after he was giving, what happened? It got slightly better, but not as it should be, blah, blah, blah. But what did Jesus do when the epileptic boy came to him? What did he do? When he told that foul spirit to come out, the boy dropped down as though he were dead, and people are saying, oh, he has killed him. And Bible said he lifted him up, and the boy was made whole. I could see from that case, it is clearly a wicked spirit doing that. But unfortunately, because the people do not know any better, they are hiding under the explanation of signs. Unless you and I go to tell them about the good news, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is what? Born. What are you doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? We have become like the sea that takes everything, and nothing flows out. So let me tell you, when you begin to do that, your prayer life changes. Your conversation what? Changes. You will then see issues that becomes your body. There was a guy who was in a gang in this city. He got born again and got delivered from the crime. The kind of thing was saying, mugging people, shooting themselves and all that. So one of the guy's life work is how to reach out to those guys and get them into Jesus. Now that is one person left from Satan's camp, who has entered into the camp of the Almighty God, guaranteed to be in heaven when he leaves this world. But if somebody didn't preach to him, what do you think will happen? There are people who are contemplating suicide. We are doing absolutely nothing about it. We hear some things in the news, it just doesn't bother us. We've become so docile that, you know, like I used to say, when in Afghanistan and Iraq, it was so far away, the kind of thing terrorists were doing. It was so far from Nigeria. So far. You couldn't even imagine that one day, they'll be scanning your card before you go into a hotel. Because you think, you know what, these crazy people out there. That's what happens when evil is ignored. Let's go on. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, except a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart then, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should what? Repent. And they cast out many devils, anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. You can imagine the experience that they had. That's the experience Jesus wants you to have. That's what gives life to your Christianity. That's what makes your conversation changes. That's where you can say to them, call your God. The one that answered by fire, let him be God. It's no longer a scriptural quote, but now a living experience in the field. But really, it is the one-to-one conversation. We will see something in the book of Acts. In 2 years, the gospel spread to all of Asia. It was a one-to-one conversation. House to house they were going. There were a few mass crusades, but largely it was a one-to-one conversation. Why would people who do not hold the truth, they assume is the truth, they go about doing this thing? We that have power and authority to do it, we are not. It's very simple. Because you see, We would rather have God go and do it because he's now our chief errand boy. We'd rather pray in our room and let God go and do it and preach the gospel. That is not convenient. Or we'd rather, okay, how much can I pay for someone else to go and do it? Because we all don't want to be inconvenienced. We all don't want to be controversial. We all don't want somebody to pour water on you and say, get out of my house. Or be insulted. But you see, if Jesus had sat there and said, you know what? Who am I going to send? Angel Michael, come. Let's do a deal. You go. I'll be praying for you here. Would we have been saved? No. But he had to come. There are certain things you cannot delegate. You have to go and do it by yourself. You can't escape it. And the Bible says, for every soul, there is a star that is added to your crown. That means there will be a day of reward. When that day comes, one man's palace will be bigger than the other man's. That's the truth. It is a serious matter. It is extremely serious. Every one of us. When we first got born again, we were all zealous to go and preach the gospel. So what has happened? What changed? What changed? Some of the problems we're having, if we just do this, God will take care of the rest. He said, carry no pulse. You know, Lester Sumrall, man, those guys are men. Lester Sumrall, when he set out as a missionary to go and preach the gospel, those days he was traveling by ship. And he left from the U.S. When he got to Australia, something interesting happened. He preached somewhere. The guy he preached for, he didn't even have enough money to get his train ticket to go on to the next place. That guy took him, dropped him off and said, I'm not giving you anything. Because he just didn't think that he should get any offering. This man didn't have nothing on him. Dropped him off in his hotel room and he was going to go and I think what is now Myanmar, so somewhere Indonesia in between. He was going to go. So the man said, well, God, if you don't say I'm here, I expect you to provide the means for me to go. This is the man preaching the gospel. When he left America, he had only $7 left. So in his hotel, he packed his bag, got himself ready, put his hat, coat, everything together, and there was waiting. I said, God, I'm waiting for you to bring the ticket for me to go. He was there, just waiting, trusting God, just waiting. Time was going, you know, because those things are timed. You have to get in train at certain times. Just in time, one guy came and knocked on his door. I said, Brother Sumrall, the Lord says to me that I should come get you to the train station and that I should buy you the travel ticket. That's how the man carried his things and traveled. Then when he got to a particular place. I can't remember the full story, but he got to a particular place. Now they were ministering the gospel. A group of ministers were together. One of them had said, look, as a rule, we don't talk about money. Just mind your business. Everybody was there believing God for money to go to the next stage. He was as well, doing the same thing. So one of those times, in one of the meetings that they had, a woman came on the line. He laid his hand on her. She got healed. Of course, went away. A few days later, the woman now came back with her husband. Her husband apparently was a general in the Indonesian Navy. Because they had been in that problem for years. And came with a gift for him. Handed him over the envelope. Before then, the woman herself had brought baskets of fruit to give him. When the man opened it, it was $3,000 inside. That is how the man took the gospel to Myanmar. What am I saying? We have to make this not a little part of our lives. It has to be right in the center. Because that is when you can experience power. That is when you can see somebody who has a terrible illness gone. What do you think will happen to your faith when you're reaching for something? What do you think will be your manner of conversation if you're having this experience? You say he's risen from the dead, isn't it? He's risen. He's risen. When you talk about Jesus, you know you're not just talking. I remember years ago, NYC, a group of coppers went into a village in Imo State where I served. They gathered the people together as they began to preach the gospel. They were convicted in their heart. They brought out their idols. They took anointing oil and poured on a thing. The thing caught fire. Anointing or poured it on those things. It caught fire. You know, I was listening to Keith Butler yesterday. In fact, him and Brother Copeland, they were talking about the burden for souls. I was so blessed by that message. It was about 22 minutes. He said something. You know, that was when Kenneth Copeland was saying that the Lord said he should bring the ministry up to being battle ready. He said that he was in his hotel room doing God's bidding. It was time to fly back to his base. That morning in prayer, the Holy Ghost said to him, go to San Francisco. You know, since last night, I've been thinking about it. Why does God behave this way? He will tell you something. He will not give you the full part. He said to him, go to San Francisco, and didn't say anything more. He didn't say what you should go and do in San Francisco. He didn't say who to meet. He said, just go to San Francisco. So he called his office and said, buy me a ticket to San Francisco. I'm not coming this way again. They said, so what's the plan? Who should meet you there? He said, nobody. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know. Just buy me the ticket. And he went. He got to San Francisco. The plane he was supposed to be in that took off crashed. Everybody died. Nobody escaped it. So I've been in situations where God has said, he will tell you one thing, and that's it. His mouth, he zips it up. You won't hear anything again. So what do you do with it? The instructions seem to be incomplete, but there's one part that is clear. It's another instance. He was driving. The Holy Ghost said to him, take a turn. He said, this will take me like extra 20 minutes. He said, but he knew inside here. That's what he said, take that turn, go away from this road. After arguing with the Holy Spirit, he carried on. Down the road, a car was involved in an accident. The car began to flip. He saw the car flipping, just flipping, coming to him. Flipped to the point where when the car landed beside him, he was trying to duck. When the car landed behind him, one of the metals came through the glass, right through and stopped just before his nose. He said, but for the mercy of God, he would have been decapitated. So you see, when you take this business as God's business, what will happen is that God takes the responsibility to look after you. You can't run away from it. In fact, it is expected that the day you give your life to Christ, from the very next moment, you start preaching about Jesus. You, from there on, you start till the day you leave this world. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. From verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Can you see that? You know, initially they were Peter and his crew. After that, what did he do? He appointed another what? 70. So you can see that there were a lot of people that followed Jesus that many we don't know of. And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place. And whither he himself would come. Can you see that? Jesus is waiting to come into those places. But he's saying, I'm no more here. You are. I am on the inside of you. I'm depending on you to go to those places that I desire to come to. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are what? Few. The harvest is out there. Truth be told, okay, let me not jump ahead of myself. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among what? Wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Can you see that? You see, the provision is available, but we can only activate it when we go out. So you have the responsibility to sit down and understand the scripture so that you can put it forward to the individual, where you have to have discussion with them, where you don't veer off into politics. For example, you meet someone, they tell you about tithing, an argument will start, or to take you away from the call. You see, we are dealing with an eternal issue here. We need to understand the weight of this thing. We are dealing with an eternal issue here that involves the soul of a man who could go to hell. And in going to hell, there is nothing like, okay, after some time I'll be out. The person is gone. There was a story I heard of how somebody was in a bus and had this impression to preach the gospel to somebody, hesitated and hesitated and hesitated until the person came down, going away, got knocked down by a vehicle, and he died. The thing is this, the way Jesus designed it is really, Christianity is about people. Jesus is about people. That is why for him, if you treat the other party unfairly, he takes it personal. Whatever you do to the next party, he takes it very seriously, even to your children. If you speak to them the way you ought not to, you will have a check in your heart. That's how serious this thing is. But as you go busy about his business, he looks after your own. He said, when you get there, whatever they said before you, so is it any wonder that is it those who have given themselves to the gospel, the supply they have is limitless. So here the people will tell you, even now, he still goes to preach the gospel. He said he has been before, they poured water on him. So, it's all part of it. You carry on. He said, look, there's a man he led to Christ before he got filled with the Holy Spirit. That man is still in his ministry today. So it's a serious matter. In winner's right, and they don't joke with it. Everybody, doesn't matter who you are, go a fishing. Because the man understands that this thing is tied to your destiny, is tied to everything about you. From that point, you become God's major responsibility. Not because you weren't before. It's like in a nation that puts an army out there. They say for you, everything about you we're going to provide. In our own case, it includes your life being preserved. I mean, when Paul was going to go to, was it Rome? And Agabus came and tied his hands and said, whoever owns this thing, said this. Paul said, I don't care. I really don't care what they do to me. It's immaterial. Because he understood what he should did at the other end. And having understood the gospel and what he's dealing with, then he realizes that, nah, this is serious matter. Now, Luke 22:35. Same Luke 22. Luke 22:35. You see something there. 35. We have to make up our minds. E.W. Kenyon said, when you begin to have the burden for a particular person to be saved, maybe the person is in your network, he said, what is usually happening at that time, God is also dealing with that same person to be saved. In some cases, you know, you may have to speak to the person 2, 3, 4 times. But you know, if you've engaged the person once, the person is not hearing. you now know that you have to go back and do what? Pray. And you see, a lot of these people are held down by the forces of darkness, that they will not hear the glorious gospel, because if they do, they will be free. And you and I know that it's not about their sin, it's not about the alcohol, it's not about any of those things. There is absolutely nothing they can do about it. There's no confession they can make about the sins they've committed. We know that it's as a result of the nature of Adam. So all they have to do is declare that Jesus is Lord. I am his and he is mine now. That's all there is to it. It sounds so simple, but that's how God says it is. And they receive Jesus from that point forward. The story changes. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So my question to us this morning, including myself, if Jesus tarries, every one of us, you'll finish your journey on the earth. You will be dead. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? When you show up before God, what will the book say in terms of the number of people you brought this glorious gospel to that accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior? Not those you preached to, those that got born again and then also remain, because you know that's another level. What will you say that is? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Will it be the houses you built, the degrees you had, the countries you traveled to, all the nice things of life you had? Will it be any of those? Will it just be the people you were kind to? That has a place, but Jesus said, you've got to go preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of me. So what will that be? Will that be one person? Will that be two? Will it be five? Will it be 10? Will it be 1,000? Jesus does not get satisfied with smallness, as we'll see just now in the book of Acts. There were a handful of people. By the time you knew, the gospel had taken over the whole of Asia, gone around the world. Turkey, that you see today, one of the churches in the book of Revelation, that's where they were. Today, that's an Islamic nation today. But the truth of the matter is that the gospel was taken by men. They didn't rest. They went everywhere. So the hard question each of us needs to answer is, to what extent are we willing to bear the controversy of the cross outside of our convenience? To what extent? You need to ask yourself, to what extent? Are we going to say, listen, let me talk to you. This guy, before we go on to the next thing, Kenyon, he did something, he said something here, something I saw, let me just find it and read it to you. I mean, these are men who, they didn't take any chances, so these guys gave themselves to this thing seriously. Seriously. And we can't just sit down and be consumers of all the benefits and giving nothing out to anybody. We can't. We can't just relax and all you do, you're just a nice guy, you don't bother anybody. And you know, if what is driving you is in your heart is love for the other person, then it will compel you to act. There's got to be love in your heart. There's got to be a genuine concern for the other party. Genuine concern. So when you speak, you're speaking out of love. You're not speaking out of, you're a sinner going to hell. It's not going to work. There was a lady in America. She used to, in all these pornographic movies, she used to play a major part. She said there were several instances. So, you know, in doing that, she had, if you come to a house, the latest cars, all the nice things, that you enter somebody's house and say, wow, this is so good. She had all the things that life could offer. But she was empty. She said severally, when she finished playing, when she finishes playing that part, she'll go and lock herself up in the bathroom. She will cry for hours. Cry and cry and cry and cry in the depths of her soul. You see, but people revered her. She had money, but she knew she was empty. Until she met with Jesus. When she met with Jesus, she got born again. Now, you know, there are movies she has shot. These movies are where people see her, they know her. In fact, she already had a son who by this time was 14, because after she got born again, the guy that led her to Christ, interesting story, a few years later, married her. And the church thriving, that boy had been raised to the point where he understood God's word. And so when he's among his friends, when they're trying to pull him and say, your mom was this, that, that, he said, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, that was my mother. But this is who she is now. She's born again. And she didn't hide it. They're taking the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. Then on top of it, by the time I was reading this story, she now already had a child for this pastor. So you can see how God turned the story around. From somebody who is in that state. So there are people who, they tell you, we are in the LGBT, blah, blah, blah. But really, after all said and done, the whole place is quiet. Behind the curtain, the person is crying for help. But who will take the help to the person? Jesus is not going to do it. He said, there are places I desire to go. But you have got to be there because you are the body. Who is the church? We are. Individually. We cannot hide under this corporate arrangement alone. And then you know what? Someone else will do it. We will just pray along with you. Jesus said no. Everybody's got to be involved. This is what E.W. Kenyon said. A man addressed an acquaintance of his in a warm, friendly manner with the following words. John, I'm rather anxious about your salvation. I know it will mean so much to you and your family. And I want you to have the thing that has made such changes in my home. Let me give you one or two scriptures that will help you. He immediately had his friend's attention and was able to sow the seed that eventually led his friend into the family of God. So you can see that when Jesus was with some of those guys, he talked to them about agriculture, what they do, maybe your colleagues, their scientists, whatever they may be. He comes around with conversations that where he can strike a conversation between him and the other party. There are some of these people. Imagine a guy like Dibanch. I saw a picture, I think yesterday, where he was giving the little boy that died in the swimming pool, his son, feeding bottle. The boy was standing and he was sitting. You know, and I looked at him. Ah! I looked at him and looked at the child. As I imagined the pain in this guy's heart right now. The boy was bearing his full name, but at the end, Junior. Imagine the pain in his heart. For him, all the music and all the fame and everything really doesn't count for much with such a loss. Now, this is a guy who started in the church. He's related to David Oyedepo. He started in the church. Today, he's so far from it. So, who is going to talk to that kind of man? One of these leading artists, I remember her name just now, Lady Gaga. You see, let's not be deceived though. We saw, is it Kate Spade? She just committed suicide. Did you see her house? I saw it. Beautiful house. Artistic work, everything. That house was about $2 million or thereabout. The husband had moved out 10 months before. She'd always had this mental health problem, this suicide tendency. The man had moved out 10 months because they had disagreement. If a woman carry case paid back, you are among the people that matters. But why did she commit suicide? She had a daughter. She left a note. Why? Lady Gaga. She heavy duty drugs before they come to the stage. But let me tell you, you know they have so much money. They have so much fame and everything. One of those guys among them, two guys went out, they went prayer walking. So they did it for quite some time. This other guy went jogging. Now this guy used to be in her group. Somehow he got involved in an accident, and so the instrument he used to play, he couldn't anymore because of what happened to his arm. So in the course of jogging, he went jogging, they went prayer walking. They had done it for like 2 hours, so they met. Somehow, they stopped him. Said, do you know about Jesus? They began to preach Jesus to him. In the process, prayed for him, that hand got supernaturally healed. First, the guy was now restored back to what? Walk. He now went now to Lady Gaga. That day they were going to go on stage. Usually they will share those drugs before they come on stage. Gave the guy said, nah, I ain't gonna take this anymore. So what do you mean? We used to take this thing together. So no. The guy now told her what happened to him. She pulled him aside. Said, please, I need this Jesus. Will you pray for me? Now, somebody inside that inner circle who has Jesus, who has just encountered him. This is not story. An arm that couldn't use to walk again was restored. And said, look, this is what happened. This is the encounter I had. I have left all these things for good. Jesus is not the one I preach. I was watching one guy on God TV. And he said, he was talking to some people and they said, these crazy guys in Syria, killing Christians, doing all kinds of things. He said God was talking to one guy that, what's in your heart for them? Say, those people, they are evil. He said, then I cannot send you to go and reach out to them. He said, there's got to be love in your heart, in spite of what is going on, for you to be able to preach love to them to be saved. It is a serious matter. It's a very, very important part of our lives. It's a conversation we don't want to have. Is it not true? We'll just have all the nice things, attend the nice meetings, hug ourselves, God bless ourselves, and then go. But the part that you need to come out, as I need to talk to you about Jesus, first of all, they look at you and say, no, I don't want to hear, get out. Also, when you start, they have so much money, their attitude is, I don't need this Jesus. Some, they are afraid. If I give my life to Christ, this Christianity thing is hard. I will backslide again. Or I will go back to things I used to do. There was a woman, there's this other guy, I remember his name in a moment. There was this woman who was having an affair with another woman, another woman's husband. So, for 8 years he was on her case. Not as a pastor chasing somebody, he was on her case before God and engaging with her. Until one day, the woman gave her life to Christ, dumped everything. This is what happened, true story. Then, she's in the church now. Then one day, she picked up the phone and called him. After that conversation and the link she established, he got $250,000 deal. He now went to God and said, God, what was this all about? He said, no, I'm just trying to say thank you for what you did. I said, what do you mean? He said, because you have patiently followed her through. He said, how did that deal come straight to that woman? He said, yes, I'm the one that is appreciating you for what you've done and that you patiently followed her through for 8 years. How would we have judged that person and abandoned it and let her go to hell? And look at the sense of humor God had. $250,000. What of transactions? So there are certain things we're reaching for. Unless we go about the master's business, we may be struggling for a while to get them. But there's another way they can be linked to our well-being. That's why I said don't carry purse, don't carry anything, just go. Everything I'll take care of. How about the woman at the well? Remember that story? How she had a conversation with Jesus. And what happened next? She went and called the whole town. Say, come and what? See. That could be likened to something you're doing. God brings you to somebody who the Prince of Peace entered the person's home. Him and his wife have been fighting to kill themselves since. Suddenly they are living in peace because they are met with the Prince of Peace. I say, wow. And could become channel by which you can be blessed beyond measure. You don't know. Like Brother Copeland and Keith Butler said yesterday, you know, there are many things God delivers us from that we don't know. And we'll never know the details until we get to heaven. You don't know, you have no clue. You just have no idea. Imagine when God told him to turn off. And in obedience, if he had done that, you know, he would have gone, not knowing what God has saved him from. That's why every time God tells us to do something and we don't do it, there are consequences. There are consequences. You may argue with him, you may prove you are wise, you may be stubborn, you just don't care about it. It could be nudging your heart, say, talk to that person about it. Talk to that person. I shan't. I won't. I'll do it tomorrow. Then something goes wrong. And you don't even have the details. Or that action will lead to certain things opened up to you somewhere that you don't know, that perhaps that person may have no role to play. But in the way God has drawn out his scheme of things, he needs you to do that to open up something else. Like somebody said, every time you obey God, and it is true, you don't have the full details of what he has at the back end as a result of that obedience. So it is important that this our Christian journey, let's be honest with ourselves. We have to go back to how it was before. You know, those days when we got born again, there were no air-conditioned rooms like this. But with joy, we preached the gospel. Those days we were taught that every Friday you fast and pray. You fast the whole day. Church did not call for you to, you fast and pray on your own. That you can't go Monday to Friday eating. Take one day a week on your own. You fast and pray. When this becomes your life assignment, it becomes part of what you pray about. You say, John Johnson that I'm talking to, it becomes part of your prayer point. That I bind every spirit that is holding him bound from seeing the light of the glorious gospel. I set him free from every demonic influence. That in the name of Jesus, the next time I open my mouth to speak to him, the word come alive. Or the word that I have left with him, by the Spirit of God, it is activated. So the guy can be lying on his bed one day quiet. And then suddenly begins to think about his life. I don't think this can continue like this, though. Then he hears your voice. That, you know, after all said and done, where will you be? These challenges you are facing, how are you going to deal with it? You're in prison today because you brought this upon yourself. But you can, Jesus can make you higher than the crack you're taking. They will hear these things. And they can kneel on their bed, by their bedside, and say, Jesus, come into my heart. The way I gave my life to Christ, everything everybody said to me, I didn't hear. But I gave my life to Christ kneeling beside my bed. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit there and then. Why? Because somebody had bothered to tell me about Jesus before. So my question is, who has heard your voice that the Holy Spirit will take those words? Remember, they are not intellectual conversations. They are not political conversations. Every time you're engaging with somebody to preach the gospel, you have to You have to pay close attention to the fact that you're dealing with an eternal issue here, much bigger than the world can understand. That this person risks going to hell, lost forever. Bible says we have become ambassadors to reconcile the world back to God, because God has reconciled them back to Him, but you need to go to them. And when you do, there's no way God will not reward your effort with harvest. Yes, not all of them will give their life to Christ at the same time, but one thing is sure, you will see some give their life to Christ. But don't forget, when you do those things, you do not do it and stop there. You say, who is sick among you? What is going on? We need to pray. And then power is demonstrated among other things. You see somebody who has graduated for years, no job, multiple degrees, some multiple nationalities, they're even confused, they don't know where they're from anymore. They are being held back by some forces beyond their control. Some are so intelligent, you don't understand why. But you've got to bring the light. Light and darkness can't dwell. When you come in, you are the light. You're carrying that light. How can we carry so much power? And it's about us and us alone. This will compel you to look at the Bible again. There'll be questions they may ask you don't have answers to. You will have to go to God and say, I need to understand this. Then as the church, we've got to equally do likewise. I won't finish this without looking at, let's look at Acts 19:20. Let's see Acts 5:42 first. Acts 5:42. Okay, Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house. Can you see that? They cease not to teach and preach what? Jesus Christ. Acts 19:10. So as part of your plan, as an individual, then as a church, your people doesn't joke with it. It's a serious matter. There's nothing like you are pastor. Everybody gets involved. It's serious. It is serious. Everybody. There's nothing like, okay, it's a lie. Everybody gets involved because the man understands that, look, the multiplication that comes is unmatched. How would you feel? You carry yourself. You go to a neighborhood. At least you went to school. You're educated enough. You are polite enough. Your manner of approach is correct. But you have prayed. You go and knock on the door. There might just be somebody there contemplating suicide. And you're the person who will rescue that person that day. So how are you going to do it? But if you don't go, what will happen? There was a guy who, after a meeting like this, the guy couldn't rest. He went home. Time had gone. He had this nudge in to go and preach to his neighbor. He just couldn't rest. 12 midnight, the guy had to get up, wear his clothes because he couldn't sleep. He went and knocked on his door and said, I apologize to you for coming this late to knock on your door. I've come to talk about Jesus. The guy said, no, it's not too late. Come in. They sat down. That man was looking for how to get born again. That's how he led him to Christ that night in his house. He could have ignored it. Acts 19:10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and what? Greek. You can see that in a space of 2 years, the gospel was spread across all of Asia Minor. In a space of 2 years. How did it happen? It was the one-to-one. One-to-one. As they were taking the gospel, talking to somebody. Maybe there's a young lady in your group. Say, come, sit down. I want to talk to you about Jesus. And you probably found out that this girl grew up in a family where they were Christians, joined some friends, have influenced her, she's gone off track. Through that intervention, God brings her back to track. In some cases, the person is not born again. Like a young lady in one of those universities, here in this country, they had some show, brilliant young girl. She went for the show. It was during the winter time, everybody queued up to enter the place. And where she was standing, some construction work was going on. It was a nightclub, actually. It was one of those silly traditions in the university that the students get involved in. So, queued up waiting to go in. Of course, I imagine that they all buy tickets to go in. When she was standing there, part of where the construction work was going on, one of the objects fell on her, and she died on the spot. Now, if somebody had preached the gospel to her, she would have seen the need not to be there. Maybe somebody ought to have preached the gospel to her 5 years before, and she would have given her life to Christ. She would have no need to go to that sort of place. God would have saved her. But fortunately, she died. Now, that is a wasted life. How many such things do we see going around us everywhere? So, every one of us, we have to understand the fact that we are really the body of Christ, and that the Holy Ghost indwells us. We are the church. So the church deliberately, how do we, please understand, grow from the current number of people we are? Jesus, that is his intention. I have a handful of people, they know me now. Now they need to take the gospel and bring in more people into the fold. It is not after whose crowd is bigger than mine, but how many more people have we rescued from hell? So that must be our plan deliberately. There are people right now, today is Sunday, they are doing all kinds of silly things. They can't be bothered. But you know what? When we pray, God will take away the darkness they are in, and the light comes in, and they'll be saved. Like that guy that got saved, how would Lady Gaga have said, "I need this gospel. Please pray for me that I've become born again as well"? How would that happen if one fellow was not led to Christ? So you get somebody saved, he then goes to his group, the core group where they are, because now I suddenly experience life. That is how it makes its way into that crowd, into that group. So the next step I think we need to take as a church, we need to have an active plan. As individuals, we need to have an active plan. As a minimum, we need to have those gospel tracts. You have them in your band, you have them everywhere. While you're waiting the train station, hand them over. Don't worry, a few people will throw theirs away. It's okay. Someone else will pick it. And the Holy Ghost will speak. Remember, you're dealing with an eternal issue here. And you have a huge responsibility to be a part of it. You can decide to shrug your shoulder and not be bothered. God is not going to use hammer and break your head. He's not going to pour fire on you because of that. He's not going to stop answering your prayers because of that. But you and I know that there are certain things you can't have access to, not because he's holding it back, but because there are certain steps you need to take to activate those things. And above all, when you get to heaven, how many people would you say you have led to Christ, that you preached the gospel to, God saved? And what would you say in terms of the demonstration of power that you've experienced? Wouldn't it be nice, you go into a home? Like many years ago, I came in from the university, my mom was lying on the bed sick, and I remember what happened to Peter's in-law. And I called my siblings together, we just held around the bed, and I rebuked the spirit of sickness. My mom was healed instantly. She got up and went to the kitchen and started fixing the meal. Now, that could have been a scenario where somebody, you go to a family, a mother is lying sick, and then you've preached the gospel. What happens? You know, some people, the problem they are in is as a result of the consequences of sin at work. You know, when you meet, the expression of death, which is as a result of separation from man, In some people, it is expressed as they are criminals, they are in prison, so you quickly see it. Whereas, you can meet a gentleman who is dressed like me, all looking good, very polite, is very kind-hearted, but you know that the root of it is that this man is lost, going to hell. You know he is. He's separated from God. So that he's nice, he all looks good, good-mannered. There's a degree of the expression of death. What's his name? Adam was separated from God. I think he died about 930 years later. So you see, there's a separation, but the expression differs. To some degree, he's a violent criminal. To some degree, he's a gentleman. Haven't you wondered when you see some people, if they tell you this person is a pedophile, you say it's a lie. It is the expression of what? Death. So every one of us, everyone, no exception. That's how we can be delivered from self and selfish prayers. We have to make it as part of our responsibility. So, okay, we want to increase the number of people that are born again. I'm not saying people that we invite, they come, they become members of this church, they're Christians where they are, that's good. We need to say, as part of our plans, between now and year end, it should be like you set a target. And for God, that kind of target is good. He likes it. So we want to add 50 people born again from the streets, wherever they are, added to this church. So as part of the responsibility, as part of praying, as part of going out, as part of the next steps, we can then evaluate and say, did we get 50 people? Have we reached 25? We have 50 more. Wouldn't that be nice? When God sees that, these people are serious. What then happens is that, it's okay. What else can we do? From that 50, we become what? 60, 70? All 70 of us, now we have to go out. As those guys are coming in, you are saying, you are joining the crew straight away. There's no sitting down saying, you are joining. We pair you up with somebody that knows. You go and read the Bible, we discuss it. There will be mistake here and there, but it's not a problem. You learn from it. By the time you know what is happening, you have 200 people. From 200, everybody going out is 400, isn't it? It's 600, it's 1,000. Your own goal, how do we make these disciples of men? In your area, you go out and preach the gospel. The tracts that will be produced, you carry some. You go and give them. Somebody can be in trouble. Serious trouble. They picked the tracts from somewhere that somebody left, or they picked who else they were given. Sir, Covenant Christian Center. I'm going there. The person comes, not born again yet. I say, once again, let's go say, I'll give my life to Christ. It looks so innocuous, it looks so insignificant, looks so small. But what is important is that we are going about what? The master's business. So you need to ask yourself, between now and year end, how many people am I going to bring through the preaching of the gospel to the body of Christ, to this church? Because you know it's important that when they get born again, they need to go to a place where they are fed correctly. Otherwise, what will happen is that is one harvest you have wasted. And God is not going to take it kindly. So it's not enough to lead the person of Christ and leave the person. It's how do you ensure that the person goes to a place where he or she is correctly taught the word of God? Because that is when the person becomes a major tool. That and the way God operates, like I've said repeatedly, from the day you get born again, you're enlisted straight in the army. To get on with it. So you see the same person go somewhere and say, ah, the demons left. And when that becomes the case, the person has supernatural experience. And then our lives can begin to experience the increase of God. Shall we pray? Every time we have listened to God's word, we go about enjoying it, we sing it, we dance it, and that's where it ends. Then probably the other thing is that, okay, what are personal needs that we need to begin to talk to God about? And God is saying, I have a need as well. You have your need, I have mine. Mine is, I need you to work with me to get some people saved. We need to make fresh commitments, every one of us, on how to be a part of this, that we can't be passive Christians and just leave it there. Someone else will do it, nobody does it, and just be satisfied how we are. I want us to talk to God this morning and truly repent, because He calls for repentance. You know, repentance is change of heart, not necessarily from sin alone. A change of heart to really actively be involved in this business of taking the gospel to the nations of the earth, to our communities and our neighborhood. Let's ask Him to help us. Whatever deficiencies we may have, He has provided for everything for us to effectively do it. And we have to do it. Please talk to Him. Talk to Him.